Ja, hallo lieve luisteraar. Ja, we zijn op het Museumplein. Want er is een No Kings, No Tyrants demonstratie. In de VS gaan vandaag ook allemaal No Tyrants demo's plaatsvinden. Met naar verwachting vele miljoenen. En hier op het Museumplein zijn er, wat zou ik zeggen, enkele tientallen, 100 mensen, misschien 200, verzameld om bij het consulaat van de VS te demonstreren. De autoriteiten hebben een extra rood-wit lintje gespannen. Waar we dus blijkbaar niet bij mogen. We moeten op het gras blijven. En we zullen zien hoe dat zich gaat ontwikkelen. Van een extreme politieaanwezigheid is geen sprake dit keer, vreemd genoeg. Blijkbaar wordt hier wel aangenomen dat er vredig gedemonstreerd gaat worden. En het is tijd, dus het zal zo wel beginnen, denk ik. Derde No Tyrants demo. Hallo. Are you, you must be with the organizers.
I am with the organizers, yes, I am.
So, how is it going? Is it, do you know about the program that's going to be here?
Well, we're going to have a friendly protest with a couple of speakers and then just, people together speaking out. The No Tyrants protest. Worldwide, massive protest, and this is the Amsterdam version. Last time worldwide, more than 7 million people came out.
And
we'll have to see how many will be this time. But and of which a couple of hundred, mostly Americans, but also some Dutch people here.
I must say I'm a bit slightly underwhelmed by the amount of people.
I mean, it's mostly Americans, and there's only so many Americans here, in the country.
But,
so yeah,
I do feel that a lot of other non-American people have a strong urge to not want this tyrant.
I agree, and I hope that they would show up, but not many have so far. Maybe next time more will.
And who are the speakers? Can you say?
I don't know top of mind. No.
Okay. Well. Okay.
Okay. The website with some more information.
Has no borders.
Sorry, zijn jullie nog aan het praten? Ik zie dat je het had gezien. Ik heb mensen hier van Offerport Nederland net aangekomen.
Ja,
ik zie dat je dat al had gezien.
Die gaan hier stoppen.
Ja, precies. Dus ik wil even terugkoppelen.
Nee, ik zag ze net. Ik ga meteen even naar ze
toe. Gadver. Ongehoord Nederland is ook. Has entered the premises. Ik zie al wie dat zijn. Die zien er niet zo heel plezant uit. Maar het zal wel. We wachten gewoon even rustig een beetje af wat er gaat gebeuren. Ja, en als je naar een wat grotere demonstratie wil, dan kun je ook naar Den Haag. Er is op dit moment een grote demonstratie, mede georganiseerd door de nieuwe vredesbeweging tegen de oorlog in Iran. En nu gaat er iemand praten hier.
So, welcome. It is so good to be here with you today. I'm Haley Hughes. I'm originally from Cincinnati, Middletown, to be exact. So that's where J.D. Vance grew up. And I like to tell people that people there don't like him either. He's an asshole. So I've been living in The Hague, so the city of peace and justice, since 2013. I'm a writer and teacher and activist. Let me try to actually make you hear me. And I'm one of the co-founders of the brand new Netherlands chapter of Indivisible. So Indivisible, if you don't know, it is the big parent group, the grassroots organization behind No Kings and No Tyrants. And last I checked, there are more than 3,200 events planned for today in the U.S. and across the world. In October, we had 7 million. Well, in June, we had 5 million. In October, we had 7 million. And today, we are hoping for, it would be great to have 12, because you know what 12 is? 12 is the 3.5% of the population that we need to get critical mass to topple authoritarian regimes. So, I'm so glad you're here today. We are doing our part, and it feels so much better to do something than to do nothing. Am I right?
Yes.
All right. These are my emotional support notes. by the way, so Indivisible Netherlands organizers, please give a wave, because this was a team effort today. And we've got our cute protest frog right here in front of me that has a QR code so you can find out more and you can join us. It is brand new as of a couple of weeks ago. So please join the fold and help us topple authoritarians, eh? All right. Whether you're from the U.S. and you're living here, or you're just traveling through, or you're a Dutch ally, or from another country, we're so happy you're with us. These are global issues. So much is at risk, and democracy has no borders. A few quick housekeeping things before we start. We're going to be taking some videos and photos. We will be careful to not get too much of people's faces without permission, because, you know, safety, privacy, all that jazz. My husband Maurice, Mr. Yellow Jacket here, he is our safety guy, and so he will make sure you don't wander onto bike paths, and if you need a restroom or water, you can also ask him about that. Okay. I want to think about our right to peacefully protest here today, because a lot of our friends and family back home are taking real risks today and every day to stand up for democracy. And I think it's more important than ever to realize the privilege we have, whatever kind of privilege it is, to stand up and be loud, because some people it's too dangerous to protest. And we are in such a great position to be here to have support and friendly support from the police, from the Gemeente, to be here together today, which is so important. So there's a lot to be pissed off about, right?
Yeah.
And I thought there was a lot to be pissed off at in October. Here we are. I feel like I'm 10 years older. So I see all of your wonderful signs. We are pissed. We're going to chant. We're going to get it all out. But I also really want us to think about today, what are we fighting for? What do we want our America or our home, wherever we live, what do we want that to look like? So think about fairness, think about justice, think about peace. Think about that as we go through. Later I'm gonna open the mic to anybody from the crowd who wants to say a few words about why they joined us today. So be thinking, what are we fighting for? So Autumn,
there she is.
Autumn is our head of chants. I'm gonna come back and say more in a few minutes, but she's gonna get us started thinking about what is not my America.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for coming out today. My name's Autumn. I've lived in the Netherlands for 5 years. Obviously, I'm not living in the U.S. anymore, and living in the Netherlands is a privilege. Choosing to experience living and working in another country because I want to, not because I have to, is a privilege. I'm here today because I believe standing on the right side of history. I believe in using my white privilege and my voice to help raise the voices of those who are being silenced.
Woo. Yeah.
I'm excited to lead you all in chants. First, like Haley said, we will start with Not Our America. I'll read off a phrase, and then together we will say, Not My America. Tearing families apart.
Not My America.
Politics in the military.
Not My America.
Mass ICE in our cities.
Not My America.
Disappearing people from the street.
Not My America.
Militarizing the police.
Not My America.
We are being bombarded by a constant erosion of freedoms, attacks on our safety, health, and bodily autonomy, cracking down on free speech, silencing the press and universities, potentially disenfranchising millions of voters with the Save America Act, which will save nothing except make us not able to vote, mass surveillance, corruption, eliminating environmental protections, not to mention the unconstitutional and illegal war with Iran, the U.S.'s actions in Venezuela, Trump threatening to take Cuba and Greenland, whatever the hell that means, the ongoing atrocities happening in Gaza and Ukraine. There's a lot to be angry about.
Yes.
Yep.
There are the victims of ICE shootings that we know. Ruben Ray Martinez, Keith Porter, Renee Good, Alex Preddy, and those we don't know and may never know. The 77,000 immigrants held in facilities with stomach-churning conditions. Later, we will think more about concrete steps that we can take now. But first, it felt important to give voice to some of the most voiceless. I will now read the names of the 44 people known to have died in ICE detention since Trump's second term began. Henry Ruiz Guillen, Honduras. Serwit Gezagin Dejene, Ethiopia. Maxime Cherniak, Ukraine. Juan Alexis Tineo Martinez, Dominican Republic. Brian Rayo Garzon, Colombia. Non Yoc Nguyen, Vietnam. Marie-Ange Blaise, Haiti. Abelardo Avellaneda Delgado, Mexico. Jesus Molina Vea, Mexico. Johnny Noviello, Canada. Isidro Perez, Cuba. Chen Xuan Fan, Vietnam. Chao Feng Ge, China. Lorenzo Antonio Batres Vargas, Mexico. Oscar Duarte Rascon, Mexico. Santos Reyes Vallegas, Honduras. Ismael Ayala Uribe, Mexico. Norlan Guzman Fuentes, El Salvador. Huabin Shi, China. Miguel Angel Garcia Hernandez, Mexico. Leo Cruz Silva, Mexico. Hassan Ali Mod Saleh, Jordan. Gabriel Garcia Aviles, Mexico. Kai Yin Wong, China. Francisco Gaspar Andres, Guatemala. Pete Sumolo Montejo, Philippines. Shiraz Fatihali Sachwani, Pakistan. Jean Wilson Brutus, Haiti. Fouad Said Abokadir, Eritrea. Delvin Francesco Rodriguez, Nicaragua. Nenko Stanaganchev, Bulgaria. Luis Gustavo Nunez Caceres, Honduras. Luis Beltran Yanis Cruz, Honduras. Peridi La, Cambodia. Victor Manuel Diaz, Nicaragua. Eber Sanchez Dominguez, Mexico. Lourdes Sim, Cambodia. Jairo Garcia Hernandez, Guatemala. Alberto Guterres Reyes, Mexico. Emmanuel Clifford Damas, Haiti. Pejman Kershanas Najafabadi, Iran. Royer Perez Jimenez, Mexico. As I prepared my remarks for today and read these people's stories, two in particular stuck with me. You will see why. Geraldo Lunas Campos, Cuba. A witness told the Washington Post that guards choked Lunas Campos, who repeatedly said, "No puedo respirar," I can't breathe. His death was ruled a homicide. Mohammed Nazir Pakhtawal, Afghanistan. Having fought alongside U.S. Special Forces for a decade, Pakhtawal and his family were evacuated by the U.S. after Kabul fell in 2021. An asylum case was pending. He was a baker and he had six children. There were two earlier arrests for SNAP fraud and petty theft, but no arrests. With no previously known health conditions, he died within 24 hours. The ICE press release described him as, quote, a criminal illegal alien. Pakhtawal's brother told a reporter about their last conversation. "I'm not doing well. I need a doctor. I can't breathe." George Floyd in 2020, suspected of using a counterfeit 20, and Derek Chauvin kneeling on his neck for nearly 9 minutes. Those last words going around the world, "I can't breathe." Whether the target is BIPOC folks, or immigrants, or asylum seekers, or the LGBTQ community, and trying to systematically erase trans people from public life, the unhoused, the poor, the list goes on. The violence might wear a different face or go by another name, but it is the same. It says, "I matter and you don't. You do not belong here." Minneapolis-St. Paul, where the flagship No Kings is being held today, these communities have faced unthinkable aggression in their streets, and yet they have rallied together in a way that's inspired the whole world. You will hear shortly from a group of Americans abroad with strong ties to Minnesota, who will talk about what's happening there and how we can help. We all thought that this poem by trans author and poet Ollie Schminke from St. Paul set the stage perfectly. Can you hold my mic? Tracy's going to be a human mic stand.
Sorry, Tracy. I'll
have to stand. Land of 10,000 lakes. Land of cabins and bonfires and beer. Land of oak and you betcha, and I'm just going to sneak right past you. Land of cream of mushroom soup. Land of tater tot hot dish. Land of shoveling your neighbor's sidewalk. Land of holding open the door. Land of the loon's call over the lake. Land of the northern lights painting the sky. Land of the wilderness and the wild. Land of the Mississippi River's birth. Land of small things turning mighty. Land of tear gas pluming against an umbrella. Land of children too scared to go to school. Land of blood on the car's headrest. Land of boots and camo and guns. Land of SUVs flooding the streets. Land of masked men at my favorite gas station. Land of masked men demanding to see your papers. Land of masked men kicking doors down. Land of masked men choking people I know. Land of masked men brutalizing high school students. Land of whistles shrieking in the night. Land of whistles shrieking in the morning. Land of whistles shrieking in the afternoon. Land of crying in your car. Land of bullets and shovels and brooms. Land of people stolen from their cars and their jobs and their homes. Land of those who are left. Land of neighbors. Land of this is your home no matter where you come from. Land of whistles. Land of crowds. Land of kicking the tear gas back under the SUV. Land of sex shop turned community center. Land of grocery store drop-offs. Land of community patrol. Land of signal chats and zines. Land of printing in multiple languages. Land of you belong here and we will prove it. Land of proving it. Land of learning that love is a verb. Land of finding out exactly who you are and what you are made of. Land of drums and song and rally. Land of all-night noise outside of any hotel that dares house the devil. Land of ice agents slipping on the ice. Land of winter and frostbite. Land of nature as our first love and ally. Land of tater tot hot dish, discreetly delivered. Land of cabins, offered for a safe place to rest. Land of the northern lights, our cell phone screens as we film. Land of 10,000 neighbors. Land of small things turning mighty. Land of the Minnesota goodbye. Don't you know, we're bad at saying goodbye to those we love. We could stay here all night, shoes on in the hallway, refusing to open the door. Ollie Schwinge from St. Paul. Now, I'm going to introduce, well, let's have a chant. We're angry. We're fired up. Chant Patrol. Here we go.
Hello again. And let me pull out my chants. I want everybody to say it. Please. Rise up, speak out.
Rise up, speak out.
Rise up, speak out.
Rise up, speak out.
Rise up, speak out!
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 One more time, as loud as you can go, please. Rise up, speak out!
Rise up, speak out! Woo!
All right. If my Minnesota subgroup can make their way up here through the crowd, I would like to introduce our first member. We put together a little subgroup of Americans living here who have close ties to the Twin Cities. Shelley Anderson is our first. She lived for many years in Minneapolis, where she worked as a community organizer for a Quaker Peace Group. She was the program officer for the International Fellowship of Reconciliation's Women's Peacemaker Program. And she's lived in the Netherlands for almost 30, or about 30 years, but who's counting? So, Shelley.
On January 5th, 3,000 federal agents surged into Minnesota. They came armed with guns and with chemical weapons. They were met by 28,000 well-trained citizen observers. The citizens were armed with mobile phones and whistles. 2 days later, Brene Good was killed by one of those agents. To channel people's grief and outrage, a general strike was called for January 23rd. On one of the coldest days in years, over 300,000 people marched in an ice out rally. Woo! Over 1,000 businesses were closed for the day. The businesses that couldn't close often donated their entire day's proceeds to immigrant defense funds. The next day, a volunteer who was helping direct traffic as ICE surged through a popular restaurant district was shot and killed. His name was Alex Preddy. Despite the increasing danger to unarmed civilians, people continued to do what they could with what they had. Thousands of mutual aid organizations sprang up. Mutual aid is not a top-down charity. It's not from a government or from an institution. Mutual aid is when community members get together to share resources. It's decentralized, it's volunteer. I share my resources with you because I know that tomorrow you're going to have to be sharing with me. It was mutual aid who saved the life of a three-month-old baby. The mother was kidnapped by ICE. The mother was breastfeeding the three-month-old, who was left to find in the care of its 16-year-old sister. The baby was refusing to eat or drink anything for days. In desperation, the 16-year-old called the neighborhood resistance group, who found a breastfeeding mother who immediately went to the girl with a bag full of diapers and baby wipes and frozen infant breast milk from her. She taught the 16-year-old how to safely store and to feed the baby, and the baby lived. These are ordinary people who are doing extraordinary things. Juan Leon owns a small tow truck company. He started noticing abandoned cars in the streets. They were abandoned, sometimes with the engine still running, because ICE was dragging the drivers away. He started towing these cars to his own lot, using his spare time to try and find the owners, and then returning the cars to the families for free. So far, he's returned 250 cars. Some ordinary people doing extraordinary things with what they have. When ICE detained four homeless American Indian citizens, tribal leaders demanded their release and an end to the profiling of Native Americans. The Department of Homeland Security said they would only tell where these men were, if tribal leaders would enter into contracts which would allow ICE agents onto Indian reservations. The leaders refused. The ICE detention center in Minneapolis is built on land that in the 1860s housed a concentration camp of Native people. It's known that at least 300 Native people died in the winter of 1862. In response, the community today built a prayer tent outside this detention center. And for 24 hours, they stayed there, praying constantly for the safety and support of those imprisoned. The Native-owned and run cafe, Powwow Brown's, has become a mutual aid hub for the entire community. Again, ordinary people doing what they can with what they've got. They're joined by nonprofit groups like Isodun, which is a Somali women's organization. During the ICE surge, the group stopped their business training for Somali women who wanted to open businesses, and they started buying and collecting halal groceries, delivering them. They started providing rides, organizing rent relief, and operating a crisis hotline. ICE is still kidnapping people throughout Minnesota. A friend from Duluth writes, quote, ICE has a limited and subdued presence here in Duluth. We have several coalitions and ongoing weekly protests at street corners, bridge overpasses, and in front of government buildings. The networking among resistance groups in other cities and other states is increasing, and it is mutual aid and nonviolent precepts that fuel this people-to-people organizing. While the ICE menace seems to be morphing into a more sophisticated and technological approach. People are exhausted. Church charities are running out of money. Union emergency strike funds are out of money. But people are still continuing to protest. The number of eviction notices for non-payment of rent has skyrocketed throughout the state. And the state governor has refused to call for an evictions moratorium. But a friend of Minneapolis writes, quote, "For me, it has been a time of emotional turmoil. The greatest assault on the place I grew up and lived in my whole life, coupled with the most astonishing acts of generosity and courage I have ever seen. I'm learning how to ride through the highs and lows and stay committed to the basic principles of nonviolence and persistence. With the Trump regime's destructive acts continuing to have global consequences, we are grateful for your solidarity. Thank you." And next we'll have Lizette. Hello, I'm Lizette Bartholdi. I moved here in October from Minneapolis, Minnesota, which is why I'm here today. Thank you all for being here. This is such an important time. First, what I want to say, whatever you see or you thought you saw, it is so much worse in Minneapolis, and it's really important to know that. The other thing is everyone thinks it's over. I slept. No, they haven't. They are still there. We're not seeing it, and it's so important to remember that it's still happening. I am handing out, or some people are handing out now, this is a mutual aid card. If you do the barcode at the bottom on your phone, it gives you several options of who you can donate to. People really need support. This wiped out restaurants, people's livelihoods. It's terrible what's happened. So do whatever you can from here. I'm going to lead in a chant because I think chants are really important. So when I say no, you say tyrants. We'll start really simple. No.
Tyrants.
No.
Tyrants.
No.
Tyrants.
No.
Tyrants.
No.
Tyrants.
Great. And then one more. No ICE, no KKK, no fascist, USA. 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 I might do it later, but I moved here in October, but a lot of my, Minneapolis and Minnesota in general has always been a community-based state. They have more co-ops than any place. They have community buildings. They're called the Democratic Labor Farmer Organization. I mean, they have always done community building. Plus, it's so cold, you have to get to know your neighbors. You can't do anything else but get to know your neighbors. What I wanted to talk about is what happened after George Floyd, leading up to how prepared people were for ICE coming into town. I was there when George Floyd was killed. Outside agitators came in and burned the city. It wasn't people in Minneapolis. There were outside agitators trying to cause problems. So we all got together. People got onto their porches. We started signal chats. I'd never heard of signal chat. I'm old. I don't know what that is, but now I do. And we did signal chats, and we were out all night, and everyone took turns with pots and pans, whistles, whatever you had, to watch when people came down the street that looked like there were things we were looking for to see if they belonged in the neighborhood, partly because a lot of outside vehicles were suddenly in the city. I could stand on my porch and see the fires that were happening down the block. It was scary. But that caused all of us to be so organized and to get together and really get to know our neighbors. We met in parks, and we sat on our porches at midnight, 1 a.m, talking. I don't stay up at midnight, but I did for this during that time. But some of that organization started right then. It had already been, you know, starting, but that really got people together, and then ICE came to town. So there was already some grassroots connections. Neighborhoods are really strong in Minneapolis, and so then Ouagadougou groundswell had already been started. So I'm so proud of what they've done. So glad not to be there, but very proud of what they've done. It's so funny because in the poem she mentions, there's a sex shop in Minneapolis called Smitten Kitten. They're a main organizer for things. There, people are going there. Anyone can go there and just hang out for safety because it's scary. They're right on Lake Street, which is a major place, a major street where a lot of things are happening. You could go hang out there for a while. They had all these donations, and they've been doing tons of mutual aid for the society, for the community, and really getting the word out. The other one is a place called Modern Times. Is this vegan restaurant that was small, and now they call themselves Postmodern Times, and they do free meals for people because they said they're doing free meals, donation only, until ICE is out. What else? The other thing is the Whipple Building, which Shelley had mentioned. The Whipple Building is sort of far away from anything, and that's where they're holding people, and so people are there all night. When they release people, they release them at midnight, 1 a.m, with sometimes no shoes or coats on. It's Minnesota in the winter. So people have been there all night, getting them together, bringing coats and blankets and getting them into warm cars and taking them where they can go. The reason this is all important for us is anything can happen anywhere. Learning how to organize, learning how to talk to your neighbors and communicate is so important, and we can learn so much for this. The other thing that's happening is underground medical care. There's a lot of people who can't go to hospitals. They're scared to go into hospitals. And so I know, somebody I know is a doula and is delivering babies at people's homes, which usually is part of a hospital. There's a whole network that's developed. So people are doing incredibly brave things. And so any support you can give is so important, really important. And I'm trying to think if there's anything. I don't think I had anything. Maybe one more chant. How about dump Trump melts ice? Very Minnesota. Dump Trump melts ice. Dump Trump melts ice. Dump Trump melts ice. Dump Trump melts ice. Thank you all for being here. All right, do we have Lynn? This is the thing about organizing with people you haven't ever seen in person. I don't know if I've seen Lynn yet. Lynn, are you here? Okay, well, we are going to move on. You've heard such compelling stories about the braveness of the people in Minnesota and more cities. This is happening in so many of our great cities and towns. Like, the braveness, it's been inspiring to me for sure. So I say we have chant time, and then we're going to go to our next speaker.
In line with melt ice, let's say ice out. Ice out! Ice out! Ice out! Ice out! Ice out! Ice out! Louder! Ice out! 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 That's a good one. Nice and short. Gets the point across. Now, repeat after me. The people united will never be divided.
The people united will never be divided. The people united will never be divided. The people united will never be divided. The people united will never be divided. The people united will never be divided.
Louder!
People united will never be divided. The 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 people united will never be divided.
Nice. I know you can go louder. I know they're not working in there right now, but I know there's somebody in there that's got to hear this.
We want to piss them off.
Yeah. All right. On that note, no justice, no peace.
No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace. Yay! We found Lynn!
Number one in the nation with civil engagement and volunteerism. She wrote, "People I talk to are understandably frightened about what is happening, but they're all looking for ways to act, resist, help the most vulnerable. Plus, Minneapolis is a city of neighborhoods, a lot of local networks of people who already know and trust each other. If anyone can do this, my money is on Minneapolis, also St. Paul." I'm just going to tell you a little bit about Minnesota because you've heard everything about everything else, right? I mean, what can I add to it? I can just say that a little bit about Minnesota. It's twice the size of the Netherlands with only 5 million people, most of them living in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Cities vote blue, and the rural areas vote red, but the population is varied. The northern woods and the lakes are lands, or Old Chippewa and Ojibwa lands, still many reservations, where wild rice is still harvested. Iron is mined in the north near the Great Lake Superior. With topsoil 2 meters deep, the western and southern parts are rich farmland, home to many immigrants from Northern Europe, and the cities are pretty much corporate, but livable. Lots of lakes, even in the cities. I grew up on the Great Plains, down between South Dakota and Iowa, in a town called Worthington, where my parents were teachers. Only 10,000 people. It was the largest town around, so buses brought students to the schools there every day, like 30 buses. They came from 35, 40 miles away. One day I'll never forget, and which I want to demonstrate to you, Minnesota character, an announcement came to all the classrooms. "Grab your coats and bags and head to the buses. There's a blizzard coming. School's out." So I went to my dad's office with my friend Claire and her sister, and because their bus had already left without them. So we went home to our house, which was a small three-bedroom house for 6 family members. We were now 8. And after supper, we watched TV when there was a faint knock on the door, and there in the blizzard were 3 college boys who had thought they'd sit out the blizzard in a local bar, but they drove their car into a ditch. And so we were the closest house. They came to our house. So now we were 11. So our guests all got beds to sleep in, although these college kids had their feet hanging over the bunk beds of my brothers. But my dad and my brothers, slept on the living room floor on a deerskin rug, covered up with jackets and hats. So we played cards and board games most all the night because nobody had to worry about school or work in the morning. And there weren't enough eggs to go around for breakfast, so Mom made pancakes and our bellies all got filled. Meanwhile, all the truck drivers heading into town got stranded out at Claire's house on the highway. And they had like 25 people in as guests. But the meat truck guy brought in meat. The tobacco truck guy brought in all the cigarettes anybody wanted to smoke. The bread truck guy brought in bread, and the beer truck guy brought beer. They had a merry, merry, merry time. But not enough beds. So Claire's mom and dad organized a dance marathon so people could take turns sleeping and dancing. In the morning, the local grocery store up on the lakeshore had gotten no deliveries, of course, so because all the trucks were at Claire's house. So the proprietor started baking bread about 3 o'clock in the morning so that all the neighbors would have fresh bread. Everybody thawed out the venison and leftover turkey in their freezers and made endless casseroles to eat and to share once everyone dug out of the snowbanks. And the one in front of our house was 2 meters high. We had to climb out a window to shovel it out from the outside. The sun came out, the snowplows came, the car batteries got reloaded, and snowmen were made by hordes of kids home from school. This is the Minnesota I thought to cower. Good luck. Not only are we tough, we sing together. We can cook supper on a coffee can and follow tracks in the snow, just so you know. Let's hear it for Minnesota. Thank you so much, Lynn. She's too humble. Her bookstore, she runs American Book Center, which has been a staple here for decades, right? So, yeah, that's Lynn for you. So we're going to change gears a lot, but also not a lot, because we're all connected in the fight. So we're going to hear next from a Dutch organizer, and this is David. He is an Extinction Rebellion rebel, and he started a committee, an action committee called How to Build Trump Fry, Keep the World Trump Free. So he is a teacher, he's a coach, he has written a novel about the Dutch East Indies, and we're so glad to be growing our solidarity and linking up with local protest movements as well. So please welcome David.
Dear attendees, the only thing we learn from history is that we learn nothing from history. And it's a sentence we often quote as an abstract cliché. But nowadays, history stops being that abstract. History suddenly feels very, very close. And let me tell you why. I grew up with stories from my grandfather. He was a pastor in a church, and during World War II, he joined the resistance. And he told me about the dark nights when trucks drove through quiet streets, followed by military boots echoing, followed by a knock on the door, and a knock on the door meant fear. A knock on the door meant people would disappear. And then the day came that people were rounded up like cattle, just in broad daylight. And here in the Netherlands we call this a razzia. And they said it was about order. They said it was about security. They said it was about protecting the nation. It sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Yeah.
In news flashes from Minneapolis, I see armed agents performing these razzias. I see children afraid to go to school because they are being used as a way to catch their parents. I see racial profiling. I see families living in constant fear of that next knock on the door. And the point is, dear people, the point is, the uniforms might be different, and the language might be different, but the mechanisms are disturbingly familiar.
Yes.
Welcome in the world of tyranny and fascism. It's power that targets a vulnerable group. It's power that defines people as a threat, dividing people in us and them. using language that turns them into a problem. My grandpa told me about the ban on critical newspapers and critical media in 1940, about silencing opposition by force, by threat, by blackmailing. And he told me about a film called The Eeuwige Jood, The Eternal Jew. It was a movie shown by the Nazis, full of propaganda and hate. And now I ask you, what's the difference between that Nazi film full of racism and spreading images of the Obamas as apes?
Mm-hmm. Woo. Yes. Woo.
I can't see any difference. And let me make this clear for once and for all. This is fascism. I hear politicians speak about invasions, about remigration, about purity, about taking our country back. But this kind of language never has been innocent. Never. History shows that fascism didn't start with concentration camps. It starts with words. It starts with the idea that some people belong and others do not. It starts with the normalization of fear. So let me tell you this, and I'm looking to the embassy there. Let me tell you this, Mr. So-called President. Let me tell you this, Mr. Tyrant. Let me tell you this. We have learned our history lessons. We recognize these fascist warning signs, the rhetoric, the scapegoating, the silencing of opposition, and the erosion of democracy. And guess what? We are not afraid. We are not afraid. My grandfather told me that resistance starts when ordinary people like you and me choose to act. Listen up. We can support critical media. We can unmask fake news. We can go voting. And last but not least, no matter how hard it is, we can engage in conversation with people who think differently. And we can explain them that fascism brings them nothing. Nothing at all. And yes, that takes courage. It's the courage to say, this is not going to happen on my watch. And it's the courage to say, this is wrong. It's the courage to say, fuck you, tyrant. Fuck you. My grandpa didn't do resistance work to become a hero. It was not for glory. It was not for recognition. He did it because he felt it was the right thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. That was a powerful message. And yes, as much as we want to think we learn from history, I think some of us learn from history. I think some of us just stick our head somewhere where the sun don't shine. I'm going to put Autumn on Champ Patrol again, and then we are going to welcome our next speaker, who is a U.S. immigration lawyer and has going to draw connections between democracy here, democracy back home, and for some chance.
Who's ready to chant some more? Whose power? Our power! 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 Louder! Whose power? Our power! Whose power? Our power! Whose power? Our power! I don't want to be the one who loses my voice.
No Nazis!
No ice!
No KKK! No Nazis!
No ice!
guys can do it. All right. People over power. 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 People over power.
Louder.
People over power. 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 People over power.
That girl needs a water break. And note to self, have more champ people for next time. Okay, next we are going to introduce Jeremy. Jeremy is a self-described Antifa lawyer. Yes! practicing Dutch immigration and citizenship law here in Amsterdam. He immigrated from the U.S. in 2001, got a master's degree in Dutch constitutional law, and a Ph.D. in European constitutional law at the University of Amsterdam. He finished his Ph.D. Mine is still on the back burner, but we'll get back to it next week. His dissertation, published by TMC Osser Press, explores the impact of the freedom struggle on the development of U.S. citizenship and what lessons can be drawn from it in the development of EU citizenship. And while Jeremy is speaking, anybody who wants to come up, open mic, and say a